This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. Dr. Livingston is here. He is the space show, Dr. Space himself. However, we go to a vision that is available if you read Ars Technica, Eric Berger. Vision is Elon Musk's, but it must be shaped by facts and illustrated. And the Ars Technica has done that for us. The vision is Mars. That has been consistent with Mr. Musk since the beginning. And Mars is now imaginable. Before, it was a bridge too far for me. But thanks to Eric's most recent reporting of the Musk Mars press release, press remarks, it begins to be something we can add up. How much tonnage to low Earth orbit? How much tonnage to the moon? How much tonnage to Mars? How frequently, given that Mars only opens its window every 2 years? Erica, very good evening to you. Thank you for joining. Your article is inspiring. So I want to start right in front of us. We're waiting for the May launch of Starship Amount Super Heavy. What is it that Mr. Musk wants to achieve in this launch? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. We're still in the very much in the test flight phase of Starship, this very large experimental vehicle. But the goal with this next flight would be to take the first stage, this is the massive boost stage that has 33 rocket engines, and make a controlled landing in the ocean. They got fairly close to that last time, the last test flight in March. So they're making progress there. And then they'd like to take that upper stage, the Starship vehicle. It goes to space. It's going to come back, and they'd like to be able to have that survive the fiery reentry through Earth's atmosphere, and have that also make a controlled landing in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean. And during the last flight, Starship kind of made it through most of the reentry process, and then it kind of spun out of control and burnt up. But if people watched that, they would have seen some of this amazing plasma, really unseen views before of a spaceship coming back through the atmosphere. It's pretty remarkable.
I want to make sure I understand then both vehicles, the Super Heavy with the one with 33 engines, the biggest thing ever launched. That's to control landing in the ocean as if it was landing on land. So they're going to bring it down, hover it over the ocean, and then plunge it in. Is that what it's going to look like?
Yeah, they did the same thing with the Falcon 9 during some of the initial test flights. They would have it launch its payload, come back to Earth, and make a controlled reentry in the ocean. They did that several times before they tried landing it on a drone ship.
And with Starship, does it land like an airplane? Does it land vertically? What is its controlled landing look like?
Starship will make a vertical landing as well, back at the launch site or wherever they set up landing pads. But it basically comes down and looks kind of like the Falcon 9 as well, come in with the engines down on the ground.
But the first time, it's going to be into the ocean. So they're both going to get wet.
They're both going to get wet. I think Starship, the upper stage, will be getting wet a lot. They've got a lot of challenges to overcome to make that vehicle safely land back on Earth.
David?
Do they have any plans to recover either Starship or the second stage in the Indian Ocean, or are they just going to let it go down to the bottom?
They're going to let them go down to the bottom. I don't think they have any plans for ocean recovery. It's interesting. In some of the early Falcon 9 missions, they went really hard to try to get pieces of the vehicle back, but I think they have enough instrumentation experience now. You know, they've landed almost 300 Falcon 9s today to kind of know what they're dealing with, so that they don't need the hardware back out of the ocean.
80% of them reusable. Yes, all wonderful statistics. David, you have question marks about the moon mission. I don't want to take Mars. I don't want to put Mars in front of the moon. Go ahead, David.
What is his progress, if any, with the human lander, and how does he schedule that in with his testing of Starship and moving forward on his Mars plans? He's probably not tabling Mars for the human lander, right?
Right. I mean, the good news for the Mars plan and the moon plan is that they both require a functional, reusable Starship. And they, most importantly, they require in-orbit refueling of the vehicle. So they will launch a Starship and then refuel it with additional launches in orbit, and then it flies off to the moon and Mars. And so really the bottleneck here is making this first and second stages work, and then they've got to figure out how to transfer propellant and store it on orbit. And those are the big challenges. You need to solve both of those before you can think about going to the moon and Mars. So they're both on the same highway at this point.
All right. So what we have here is a lot of testing before we go to the moon. A detail about going to the moon. I've seen a plan that seems elaborate, including an orbiter around the moon, refueling in orbit, all of that. Is that all a work in progress, or does Musk have a battle plan for Starship once it's tested?
Musk and NASA have a battle plan for Starship. It involves, you know, as they say, kind of mastering that refueling and then figuring out how to land on the moon safely and get Starship back up. Because as you know, that Starship does not carry astronauts from Earth out to the moon. It's going to be waiting out there for the crew. They'll arrive in Orion spacecraft, get in Starship, go down to the moon, and then come back up.
Yeah, that's the moving parts that I think are a work in progress. David, you have a question.
Are they actually doing any human lander work yet, or Gateway work yet, or is all of this still pending?
No, they're absolutely working those problems in parallel. They're working on interfacing Starship with Orion, because those are the vehicles that will be doing the rendezvous, and they're also doing work on, you know, all these other aspects. It's just the really big technical challenges all rely on Starship becoming a functional rocket so that you can get to that on-orbit testing and refueling. That's really the big technological bottleneck.
Yes, Starship. Let's attend to Starship now. Now I'm ready for Mars. Starship 1 is what we're witnessing. Starship 2 to be built. Starship 3 to be even bigger. All of that because they need to carry more fuel. We're talking about putting tons into orbit of the moon, and then on to Mars. 100 tons is the number I've read, Eric. 100 tons to where? To Earth orbit, to moon orbit, to Mars orbit?
Right. So the idea is that you could put 100 tons, or with the even larger vehicles you were referencing, 200 tons. So you would launch that to Earth orbit. But then that Starship vehicle, its propellant tanks would basically be run dry, you know, getting to orbit. So then you would need to fill that vehicle up from some kind of tanker that's pre-positioned in low Earth orbit. And then once that Starship vehicle that has all that cargo you want to send to Mars is fully loaded with propellant, then it flies off to Mars and lands and carries all that payload down the surface of Mars.
So it's just two steps then, to Earth orbit, refuel to Mars.
Yeah. And I mean, it's mind-boggling amounts of payload, actually, if you think about it, John, because the largest rover we've ever landed on Mars was Curiosity and Perseverance, and those were about 1 metric ton. So we're talking about at least a factor of 100 times more payload per mission with Starship, potentially.
David?
The payload is not being increased other than the fuel coming on board. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, basically, you use all the propellant in the tanks to get from about 50 kilometers above the surface of the Earth, or 80 kilometers up to Earth orbit. And then that's like half the way to Mars in terms of delta V. And then you have to, once you reload the vehicle with propellant, then it can fly out to Mars and land.
Just wow, Eric. This is wow. So let's build Starship Station on Earth. How many towers are we imagining? How many chopsticks are needed?
Well, right now, SpaceX and Elon have talked about 2 towers in Boca Chica, South Texas. And they're also building 2 launch towers, most likely at Cape Canaveral in Florida, or one in Kennedy Space Center and likely one at Cape Canaveral. So 2 in Texas, 2 in Florida. And then when they really get going, there is talk of offshore towers, launch towers, which would be freed of a lot of the constraints of airspace and other things like that. But I think that's you know, at least several years in the future.
So we're talking about as many towers as they want to set to sea then, 20, 30, 40. In order to achieve that pace for Mars, they need backup towers. They need plan Bs. They need everything.
They need everything. Yeah, it's a massive undertaking. It certainly remains to be seen whether they'll get there. But, you know, they have executed on the way their vision, right? They first wanted to build a rocket, then they wanted to build reusable rockets, and now they have internet from space. I mean, they're getting there. They've got a ways to go, though.
Yeah, 1 million people on Mars. Yeah, they got a way to go. David, we have a minute left.
I know people in the UK are petitioning their government for Starship landing sites in the UK. Has Musk ever suggested he might want to land in other countries?
The only talk about that has been through the rocket cargo program that SpaceX is working with the U.S. military on delivering, you know, potentially military cargo supplies to different areas around the world. There's lots of challenges if you do that just in a civil space kind of with technology transfer. So, again, I think that's pretty far in the future.
Eric Berger, Senior Space Editor at Ars Technica. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.